Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
This is the fifth and final week of a series that we've been calling Ordinary Everyday Miracles. Next week, we launch our fall season and a brand new message series as well. It's going to be the perfect opportunity to invite a friend or family member who doesn't have a church to our church. So grab one of these invitation cards on your way out, or you can use an electronic card on our website to make that invitation. I suppose that it is true that we all want to believe in something or someone. If you're a person of goodwill, you want to believe in what is true and good. If you are a person of faith, you want to believe in God. But at the same time, our faith in whatever we're believing in can so easily falter and fail. It's so easy for us to become disheartened, disillusioned, disappointed, to sink into doubt. That's why we've been taking this second series of the summer to, in a sense, fill up our faith tanks, to become inspired again as we head into the fall season by taking a look at Jesus' miracles as recounted to us in the Gospel of Mark, learning again the lessons of faith that these incredible stories teach us, illustrating, among other things, the different kinds of miracles that Jesus employed, because Jesus used different kinds of miracles. For example, we looked at healing miracles, the healing of a paralytic man one week, and another week, the healing of one possessed by an evil spirit. We learned that faith must endure almost certain obstacles if it is to persevere. We also learned that we need friends in faith. We need people to help us persevere and to believe for us when we can't believe for ourselves. Jesus performed healing miracles. Jesus also performed miracles over nature. In the story of the calming of the storm, we looked at how storms and disruptions and difficulties in our lives can be opportunities to strengthen our faith. They can show us where God wants to grow our faith and how God can do it. 2 weeks ago, we looked at miracles of provision in the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. And we learned that when it comes to what God is up to, we can help. We can do the possible, and God does the impossible. By the way, if you've missed any or all of this series and you're interested, you can always catch up online. They're all posted on our website and available all the time. And of course, they're easy to share too. In this series, we've noted that we'll probably hold one of four different attitudes when it comes to miracles. One, discount them entirely as myth and legend. Two, consider them only as instructive or symbolic stories. Three, relegate them to the past. They were true, they really happened, but they are not to be repeated in our modern age. Then there is a fourth attitude or belief about miracles which we can adapt, and we're going to look at that today as we wrap up this series. We're looking today at a very moving story, I think, of a father who approaches Jesus in desperation. He's desperately seeking help for his son. So when he confronts Jesus, he says this, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." So this guy needs help for his son. The gospel writer Mark gives us a vivid account of the illness. Whatever's wrong with the boy, he isn't just sick. It seems like he's under assault. He's under attack. We talked last week about evil spirits. In a certain sense, disease and disability, while not morally evil, because moral qualities can't be assigned to physical conditions, while not morally evil, they are part and product of a broken, fallen world. And as such, they are not of God. They are not part of God's redemptive plan. Some can be combated by medical treatment, and some can be approached spiritually. But for most disease and disability, it's probably going to be a combination of both. Think about it. When someone is sick, we encourage and support them in their medical treatment, and we pray for them. And if their condition is serious enough, they can also receive the sacrament of the sick, the sacrament of anointing. We believe in the value of both medical and spiritual treatment. Of course, medical treatment wasn't an option in this case, or no longer an option. So this man comes to Jesus for what help he can provide. Notice how he addresses him. It's quite revealing. He says, "Teacher." This man doesn't approach Jesus as Messiah or God. He's just looking for someone that others have told him can help. Interesting point here. You can approach Jesus Christ and learn from him and even seek his blessing and favor and grace, even if you don't believe in him, even if you only think he is a wise teacher and a good man. That's where the earliest Christ followers started. Anyway, this father asked the disciples to heal his son, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't help. And when Jesus hears this news, he responds with what I think is frustration. "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me." He's voicing frustration, but it isn't directed at the man or his son. It's directed at the disciples. He's nearing the end of his life. He's invested heavily in these men who will carry on his work after he is gone. And they're still a disappointment to him. Certainly, all of us have been there at some point with friends and family who have disappointed us. Anyway, he's frustrated and disappointed because he was human, just like us, but he's immediately willing to reverse the situation because he is God. And so they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. As soon as the boy is brought to Jesus, he's thrown to the ground. Mark again gives vivid detail about how this boy is attacked. And Jesus, when he sees this, asks the father, "How long has this been going on?" And the father says, "From childhood. And it is often cast him into the fire and into the water in order to try and destroy him." So Jesus is like a physician beginning to diagnose the problem as well as get to know the father and how long he's had to deal with his problem, which turns out to be a very long time.
And he probably looked to lots of other people for help, and they were of no help. And he looked to the disciples for help, and they were of no help. His faith in this situation, understandably, is waning. Probably he feels helpless and hopeless. You can almost hear the resignation in his voice as he describes to Jesus that this happens all the time. And yet, he hasn't quite given up. He says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. If you can do anything." He hasn't quite given up, but if you can do anything is all the faith he's got. It's all the faith he can find. It's the best that he can do, but it's enough to get Jesus started. It's enough to get Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." The question is not if Jesus can do anything. The question is whether we believe he can do anything. The question is whether we believe his power, because our faith in him opens us up to his power. Now, I know this can be a very sensitive topic, because we've all had the experience where we prayed for something, and our prayer went unanswered. We didn't get what we were looking for, and it seemed that our prayer went unanswered. And I am not suggesting that unanswered prayer is somehow a reflection of lack of faith, that somehow it's our fault. I don't want to imply that. We could do a whole message series on the question of unanswered prayer. The point here is that any amount of prayer, any measure of faith, opens us up to the power and potential of God. When we believe, even just a little, then anything, all things are possible. Whether they happen or not, whether they fit into God's will or God's timing, that's another story entirely. But faith in Jesus Christ and what he can do opens us up to opportunities and possibilities that don't exist without faith in his power. And so with just a little bit of faith that he's got, this man prays. And he prays a prayer that's an extraordinary prayer, one that we can pray too. In fact, we should pray it. We should memorize it. And it's easy to memorize because it's just 5 words. "I believe. Help my unbelief." Whenever, wherever you're struggling to believe in God or his goodness, especially his goodness for you and your family, especially his goodness for you and your family in the midst of trials and difficulties, you can pray that prayer. "I believe. Help my unbelief." Because here's the thing. A little bit of faith goes a long way. This guy, this father, he doesn't have tremendous faith, not at all. He doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world or anything else. He doesn't even know Jesus. And he's struggling to believe that there's even a way forward for his son. But he has enough self-awareness and, more importantly, enough humility to ask for help. And that's enough for Jesus to get started and give him the help he needs. Take a look. "When Jesus saw that a crowd was coming toward him, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He is dead.'" The unclean spirit comes out of the boy at Jesus' command. He had to. He had to leave because Jesus has power and authority over all things in heaven and on earth. But this exercise provokes one last violent attack, leading everybody to think the boy is dead. Not at all. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This verse, especially, I think, and beautifully demonstrates two extraordinary qualities in Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate power and authority, the greatest man of power ever in human history, and he is a man of tenderness and compassion. He assists this father in his desperation and his son in his agony. He literally lifts them up out of their troubles. And so there's a happy ending for both. But Mark doesn't leave the story there because there's still unfinished business. The father and the son have the resolution they need, but the disciples don't. They still have questions. So when Jesus had entered the house, the disciples asked him, "Why? Why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast out that spirit?" The disciples don't know why they failed. And as Jesus gives them an explanation, a fourth kind of attitude or approach to miracles is revealed. Remember, we can dismiss them as myth or legend. We can consider them as merely instructive symbols or stories. We can relegate them to ancient history, not to be repeated in our time. Or, and this is the most helpful, the most fruitful attitude of all, we can believe in them. We can believe that they are accessible to us. We can believe that through Jesus' power, we can participate in miracles too, if, and it's an important if we prepare to participate. Take a look. The disciples want to know why we couldn't do it. And he said, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. Whenever Jesus gets alone with the apostles and away from the crowd, he always used the opportunity to coach them and teach them. That's what he's doing here, clarifying what he's just taught, explaining what's just happened. Notice Jesus doesn't say, it's impossible for you to do what I do. He doesn't say that at all. He says that they've got to prepare for miracles, and he's coaching them in how to prepare for miracles. If you want to be a part of ordinary, everyday miracles, it turns out you have to prepare to participate. And a great way to do that is through prayer and fasting. Later in the Acts of the Apostles, which is the sequel to the Gospels, we learn about what happened to the apostles after Easter Sunday. And guess what happened to the apostles after Easter Sunday? They performed miracles all the time, every day. And every day they prayed and they fasted regularly too. So what do we do with this story? And what's our takeaway from this series moving forward? Well, if you're struggling to believe in God and his goodness for you and your family, if you ever falter or fail in your faith, if you ever find yourself doubting, and we all do, don't worry about trying to reach the high hurdle of a great big faith, because any faith will do, even a little tiny bit. Even if you have just enough to be able to pray the prayer of that father in the story, I believe, help my unbelief. Start there. That's a great place to start, because God wants you to participate in miracles too. And some miracles might be only little tiny miracles that no one else ever notes or notices, and some might be great big bold audacious miracles that positively impact others. Either way, God wants miracles to happen at your hands, through his power for sure, through his power and your prayer and maybe fasting too. Miracles that can bring hope and healing and help to our beautiful but broken world. Let's pray before we leave. God, our loving Father, your Son brought hope and healing to the world by perfectly cooperating with your will. Help us to be like him. as agents of hope and healing for others, that ordinary, everyday miracles can really happen in our time, in our lives, in our families, and in our community. We ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Have a great week.
Hey, we are back with our pastor, Father Michael, right off of the end of this message series, Ordinary Everyday Miracles. So, ending this time that we're talking about miracles, how are you feeling about this whole series?
I'm feeling like it's an ending, you know. It's the end of the summer. It's the end of the series. A lot is coming to a close. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think it was a great series, and it's a message of hope.
Yeah. Any practical advice as we kind of walk away from miracles?
I hope that people can appreciate or challenge themselves to appreciate that miracles really do happen. They're happening all around us all the time, and we can participate in them too. We can be a part of it.
Yeah, we have an active role. I think more than anything, that's probably the overarching message of the series.
Right.
So we finished this series, and we're heading straight in to kickoff next weekend.
That's right, because endings always mean beginnings,
that's
too.
Right.
So we've got lots ahead. We're so excited for next weekend, and you've just got to join us. If you can be here on our Ridgely Road campus, by all means, come. It's going to be a blast. If you can't, be sure and join us online. That's going to be fun, too.
What are you most looking forward to about the
kickoff weekend? I think that I'm most looking forward to resuming all the student and kids programs because there's so much energy and excitement. How about you?
Yeah, our campus will be full of kids and students next week. We'll have all of our student programs on Sunday. Yeah, I'm excited about that change as well. I think it's going to be a great series. It's Right on the Money will be the name of the new series, so we're starting next week. It's a great time to invite someone if you're going to be around here on campus or even watching online. A new series is always opportune time.
The series is about money, but we're not asking for money. There's an important distinction right there that we want to make from the beginning. This is a series about how we use money and our attitudes toward money and how they affect and inform our spiritual life, too. So it's one that applies to everybody.
We want to help you win with your money. I think that's one of the goals of the series. So We hope that you have a great week, have a great holiday, and we will see you back here next Sunday. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, this is International Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.